Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It has been very good to be here already this morning. Appreciate them thoughts, Brother Joe. I was challenged. How will we glorify the Lord? Last Sunday morning, Brother Luke had shared an opening about the Word of God dwelling in us richly. And it really resonated in my heart because God has been laying this message that He wants me to preach here this morning. He's been laying that on my heart. And it is about the Word of God. And so this morning, that's where my heart, where my thoughts are going to be going, is upon God's Word, what He wants to do in our hearts with His Word. Is it precious? What is it? What is it that we find in God's Word? Before we start, could we kneel for prayer this morning? Those of you who can easily. Father in heaven, this morning we do bow in your presence and we do thank you, Lord, this morning that you are the Lord of glory and that your glory does rest upon your people, those who are obedient to you and want to walk and follow after you. We're thankful, Lord, this morning for your word that has already been preached. Lord, this morning we also ask now that you would be with us as we continue on here and look into your word and desiring that you would minister to us through your word. It is not a dead word. It is alive. And we need your spirit to come and quicken these words to our hearts, that it would continue to transform us to the glorious image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we bless you this morning, and we thank you again for the privilege that we have, the privilege that we have of even carrying a Bible. Lord, we're blessed and thankful this morning. We do pray that you'd minister life into each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, I want to share about the Word of God this morning. What kind of an effect is it having in my life? Is it accomplishing what God wants it in my life? Wants to accomplish in my life? What all does the Word of God do? We want to look at some of them things this morning. Matthew 4, verse 4, it tells us, "But he answered and said, Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And so this morning, we want to look at some of the things that He wants to accomplish in our lives by His Word. If we spend a lot of time preparing physical food, eating physical food, how would I be doing spiritually if I would only spend as much time eating or preparing food as I do reading God's Word or meditating upon it? Sometimes we don't feel like reading. Is the Word of God precious to us? You know, sometimes, especially as a young Christian, we don't always feel like... We wonder sometimes, what is the reason? Why do I read this? And I just want to encourage us all, from the young to the oldest, even if we don't feel like it, it still has an effect on our lives as we read it. And I want to establish that in our hearts today, that no matter whether I feel like reading it, I don't feel like reading it, we still want to read it, meditate upon it, and let it do its work in our hearts. Feelings don't always come. Feelings aren't always there. But I believe that they will come. If our heart is turned open towards God, it will do beautiful things in our lives. Even if I don't feel like it, even if it might seem dull, and you wonder, you can read a chapter, you wonder, what did God say? You just keep reading it. Isaiah 55 verse 11, it says, "So shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." And so this morning we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to open up our heart. If our heart is open towards God and we get into His Word, it'll start having its effect on our lives. We might not even notice it. We might not even know exactly what God is doing. But it will have its effect. It will start accomplishing that what God wants it to do in our lives. So let's keep reading God's Word. If we read it with an open heart, it will have a positive effect. Matthew 24 verse 33, Mark 13 verse 31, and Luke 21 verse 33 all say the same thing. It says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And so we have an everlasting word here. We have a word here. Yes, you can burn this Bible, but you cannot change God's word. It's a word that will never, ever pass away. We have something. We know that at the end of time, the thing that I'm standing on is going to pass away. It's not going to be anymore, but God's Word will stand the test of time. It will be in all of eternity. It will be, you cannot destroy, even though you can burn the pages of this book, you cannot destroy God's Word. 1 Peter 5, verse 25, it's First Peter 1 verse 25, it says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And so this morning we have an everlasting word. We have a word that will stand the test of time. We have a powerful word. We have a word that can change lives. We have a word that can take a vile sinner like me and change him. We think of the power that's in His Word, and you know, we get excited. Sometimes we can get excited about something that has a lot of power. When you see a big old tractor moving some powerful or big equipment, and you think of all the power that's behind there, it kind of stimulates some of us. Some of us not so much. Maybe there's something else that gets you excited. But think of something that has power that you enjoy. Well, this here has more power than anything else. God spoke and put them stars in the sky, and they're still there today because of the word of His power. We hold in our hand that which could change the world, and many times take little heed to it. I'm sure many of you some of you have read that book, Stronger Than Fire. It is a It is about the man that wrote translated the Spanish Bible. And I just want to share a little bit of his story. They were living in Spain, and it was a predominant Catholic territory there, and all they knew was Catholicism. And a young boy starts asking questions that daddy can't answer, grandfather can't answer. They've had the questions, but he goes beyond just asking the questions. He actually starts seeking for answers, and had a tremendous burden. Why can we not have a Bible in our own language that we can read? And the power, the word, God's word, when it comes to man, it changed him. When he went to school, when he got to school and he got his learned how to read Hebrew and Latin and I don't know which all languages he learned to translate this God's word into that language, he got converted. He got born again. He took that word home. Mom and dad got converted. Grandpa and grandma got converted. So it's a very powerful thing that we have here. And may we never lose it. May we never lose the preciousness of God's word. I'm not much for watching videos, but I did watch a video as I thought of this, the burden that God was laying on my heart. And I watched a video where some people went to China and were passing out some Bibles. And the great reverence that they held God's word with, they were kissing it, wiping the tears off of the cover. And we walk in here with our Bibles and we don't think much about it. And I don't know how long we have opportunity to carry our Bibles like we do. So my heart this morning is to encourage us to dig deep into His Word while we still have time. We still have opportunity today. We still have them. I don't know how long we'll have them. We can feel like it's not getting much done in my own heart. But remember, if my heart is open towards God, if my heart is seeking Him, it will start having its effect in my life. And we're going to go through some of the things that it says that God's Word does for us. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2, talks about whom God will, the person, the man that will, that will have the, that God's word will have an effect upon. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and of those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." So if this is where we find ourselves this morning, God's word will have a positive effect on each one of our hearts. If this is where we find ourselves, poor means needy, humble, broken, lowly. Not necessarily someone that has it figured out. Somebody who is in great need. The word contrite, that word is only used 3 times in the Bible. And I'm going to read, they're both in 2 Samuel, talking about the same person. 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. It says this, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came to Saul, and Jonathan out of Jezreel and his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And this man was Mephibosheth. And the word, Saul's son had a son that was lame. That word lame is the same word as we have for contrite. And again, in chapter 9, verse 3, still talking about Mephibosheth. And the king said, is not there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And that word lame is the same word as contrite. And so he was lame. He had to be carried around. He was of a contrite spirit. That is the picture that we have. It's something that is broken. Something that is, I don't exactly know. I think that them two verses probably shed more light onto the word contrite than what I can give you. If our spirit is broken, then God can help us and direct us. The word trembleth there means with great reverence and fearful. And it's talking about God's Word. So this morning we want to look at God's Word this way. I really don't know how to start. There's so many verses that talk about God's Word, what it does. So we want to look at it. First of all, I would like to look at John. What is God's Word? What is God's Word? John 1, reading the first four verses, and then again in verse 14. What is God's Word? But remember, it's God's Word will have a... God is looking for the man that trembleth at His Word, that has a broken and a contrite spirit. John 1... The Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same came in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I'm going to read verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this morning we see that the Word, it's a living Word. It was Jesus Christ. The Word was Jesus Christ in human flesh. So the Word has been from the beginning. Jesus is the Word in human flesh. As God spoke, things were created. A thought came to me, how far would you and I walk? How far would you and I walk to go see Jesus Christ this morning? Do you think we'd walk any further than we would walk to go get our Bible? If we truly believe that He is the Word of God, would we walk any further than I would for my Bible? My heart is not to condemn anyone this morning, but rather stir us up to dig deeper into God's Word. There's a great treasure in God's Word that only those who seek it will find it and begin to grasp the beauty of it. Talking about Jesus being the Word of God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 36, it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. So the word which came to the children of Israel, again gives us the picture that it was Christ. Hebrews 1, verse 3, says this, who, being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Things by the word, upholding all things by the word of His power. That He by Himself purged our sins. Talking about Jesus Christ. Christ is the Word of God. Now again, it's not the pages that we see, but it is His spoken word. In 1 John 5, verse 7, we read this. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So that gives us enough reason already to seek the Scriptures, doesn't it? If we want to find, do we really want to know about God? There's three that bear record in heaven. It says that it's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So we have His Word here this morning. And if we really want to know God, we need to seek His Word. We need to seek Him in here. To some, when they pick up a Bible, they pick up a dead letter. Others, when they pick it up, they pick up words of life. What do you and I pick up? You young Christians, keep reading. Keep reading it until it becomes precious to you. You know, there's when you're young and you get converted and you start reading and there's things that you don't understand, it's okay. Keep reading it. God will reveal Himself in His Word as time goes on. Us older ones, I want to challenge us. And I had to think of that testimony that one of the young men shared of Watchman Nee. He had purposed in his young Christian walk that he would read the New Testament through once every week. What would that do to us? What would that do to me if I would read the New Testament through once every week? What kind of an effect would it have on me? What do you think would change in my heart if I would purpose to do that? If I would take it that serious? It would make us more like Jesus, wouldn't it? If this is the Word of God, and this is what I'm taking in, and Christ is the Word, would it not make me more like Him? I mean, it would have to. It would make me more like Jesus. Jeremiah 23, verse 29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Is God's word not like a fire that burns up the dross, and not like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Many times I have a hard heart. I have a heart that's hard. And as I read God's word, it starts breaking. It starts breaking. And that's what God wants to do in our lives with His word. He wants to consume the dross in our lives. He wants to break into pieces that hard heart that He can work in it. It would break us. We would quit arguing with one another. Sin would be appalling to us. Matthew 13, as we keep considering what all God's word is to us, He gives us a parable here in Matthew 13. We'll read verses 3 to 9, and then we'll go over as he explains the parable in 18 to 23. So verse 3, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But the other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then in verse 18, starting in verse 18 to verse 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it, and yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he which heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed in good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It's telling us about the words of the kingdom. This is something that is describing the kingdom of God. It's not talking about the heathen. It's talking about us here this morning. Where are we in this parable? I think that many of us, many in the church today, are found in verse 22. I'm not necessarily talking about here, but the church at large. And it probably has more effect on us than I want to admit in my own life. It says that, and he also that received seed among the thorns is he which heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. We have riches all around us. We have riches all around us. And there's many cares of this world. Is it having an effect in my life? I had to ask that question. Is it having an effect in your life? If it is, what are we going to do about it? Just go on. In John chapter 12, verses 44 to 50, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me receiveth not my words, and hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And I wanted to bring attention to the verse 48. It says, the word, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. So this morning, as we think of the parable of the sower or anything else that we read, we can justify ourselves today. But let's never be deceived. His word is what is going to judge us in the last day. His word is what we're going to be judged by. It is not what I can come up with in my own mind or what I can convince myself of, but his word has the final authority in all of our lives. His word will have the final authority in all of our lives. As we think of where we are, most times we're not quite accurate where we are. In other words, if I tell you where I'm at spiritually today, a lot of times I'm not accurate. I see myself a little better than I probably am, if I'm honest. And I don't think that I'm the only one. So may God help us to lift up high His Word, to dig deep into His Word. God's Word is truth. He tells us that at least three times. Ephesians 1 verse 13. It tells us, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye have, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the word of God is truth. We have to believe that this is truth. We have to settle that in our hearts today. It is truth. Colossians 1 verse 5 tells us, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of truth of the gospel. That ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So this is truth. God's word is truth. What, like I said, many times I can come up with an inaccurate, I'm not quite accurate where I really am. But God's word is truth. It will be accurate. It will judge us correctly. There will be no flaws. In James, we will read verses 16 to 19 of chapter 1. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. His word is truth. It is settled forever in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will stand forever. This is God speaking to us through His word this morning. In Titus, He tells us this, reading the first four verses of chapter 1. He tells us, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, according to the truth which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And what I wanted there is, it tells us, which God that cannot lie. God's word is truth. And what God has spoken, He cannot lie. If God would lie one time, that we would know nothing. Everything would disintegrate. Because everything is held together because He cannot lie. It's held there because He is truth. I can't explain it. So this morning, what do you and I read? What kind of book do we pick up when we pick up the Bible? Is it a dead letter? Or is it words of life? What do we pick up? Do we pick up a book that teaches us how to live? In my mind and heart, does it hold all truth? Do I believe that when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, this is what will judge me? Do I believe it in my heart that heaven and earth will pass away, But His Word is going to endure forever. I'm not saying just knowing this, but believing is more than just knowing something. It is actually acting upon it. What do we pick up? There's a couple passages that tell us that God's Word is words of life. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 16. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have labored in vain. Holding forth the words of life. Do we believe that this is words of life? That this is something that will bring life to mankind, that has the answers to every man's problem, that will transform every man in the face of the earth? There's no situation that this book can't fix the problem of, if we bow our hearts to it. Do we believe that? Words of life. 1 John talks a little bit more about words of life. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. This is also talking about Jesus Christ, which we looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. they held, they touched, they felt, they seen this word of life. Now, we don't necessarily see Him in person, but He's in here, if we're willing to seek it out and search and find Him. Words of life. So if our hearts are open to God, again, if our hearts are open to God, it will have a tremendous effect as we read it, as we read His Word. So we come back with what we shared in the beginning. Most of what we get out of God's Word lies right here with the condition of my own heart. Is my heart seeking truth? Is it seeking righteousness? Is it seeking God? Will I find Him and His desire for my life? I had to think of the opposite. Hospitals are full, and why are they full? Because people don't want to die. People want to seek life, right? And there's nothing wrong with seeking physical life. Have you ever heard of someone desiring to die? Just wishing he would die? I mean, we've heard of saints that have long... Paul talks about that. But have you and I ever heard of anyone... I'm sorry. Have you and I ever heard of anyone that really would like part of death? I mean, if that was the case for mankind, we wouldn't need no hospitals. Men will just want to die. That's not the case for mankind. Mankind seeks life. But where do we seek life? Where do we seek life? True life. We have words of life here. Carnal men will seek carnal things. So I have a burden on my heart this morning, and I'm not sure that I'm getting it conveyed properly. He wants us to be rooted and grounded in His Word. He wants us to be passionate about living for truth. We've seen this morning that it is the foundation of everything that we know. God's Word. It has no beginning, and it will stand the test of time. It has no end. How it has the power to change our lives. We looked at that a bit. And it is what we will be judged by. And we've seen that it is words of truth and words of life. But there's much more in this well of God's Word this morning. And we can preach all day, and we will not exhaust it. So we want to continue to go deeper. I want to remind us again that our life, the way that we live it. The way that we live is what is true about us. That is not what I say. So this morning, when you and I are facing a problem, that is a great problem. Where do we want to look for answers? Where do we go? Where do we go to find our great? We have a great need. I have a great need. Where do I go? There's many people that do many different things. Some people go to Google. Some of us try to figure it out in our own mind. We rationalize everything out in our own mind. We work this thing over until we come up with an answer. But the thing is, the way I rationalize it in my mind also, it has a tremendous effect of the outcome of it is by what I'm putting in my mind. What I'm putting in here. If I'm putting God's Word in here, and the Spirit is working in here, God will help me work through it in my mind. But if I'm reading all kind of other stuff, it's hard telling what I'll come up with. So this morning, where do we turn? How do we figure out our great problem? Here, right here in our hands, lies the answers to every man's problem that ever walked on the face of the earth and ever will walk. We have it right here. And if we would humble ourselves and we would break our hearts before God and His Word, what kind of problems would we have? What kind of problems could we not work through? The answer is right here. If we're looking anywhere else to solve my problem, we have an idol. God is not number one. I have a burden for this in my own life. How do I work out my family's problems? How do we figure them out? How about your life? It troubles me to hear people who claim to be following Christ, and yet when they quote things, it's hardly ever from God's Word. We know that we're living in rapid changing times. And I do believe that if we take the time that we still have with God's Word in our hands, we can easily make it. It's going to be with a great fight, but we can make it. God is a God, He's a victorious God. We can make it. But I don't know how long we still have this. I don't know. And I'm not one that watches the news about the future a lot at all. But things are changing. We all know they're changing. Things are not like they were 3 years ago. There's not one of us that can deny that. So things are changing. What are we doing with God's Word? Can we make this our number one source of information? Can we make this our number one source of information? And truly get the words of life that are in here. It says in Mark 13, verse 20, "And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom He hath chosen, He hath shortened those days." So we know that there's troublesome times that are ahead. We know that. When is the last time that you thought of your Christian walk being a battleground for your soul? You know, the Satan is out to destroy us. He's out to get us. We can take some leisure time and not be, you know, maybe not continuously be reading God's Word or continuously be fighting. And I'm not saying that we can't take some time and spend time with our family and that every moment of every day that we need to be in God's Word. But where's our heart turned to? If there's something that comes up, where does my mind go to? Is it God and His Word, or where is it? We're living in a battleground. The devil wants to roll us to sleep. We're not just going to barely make it in. It's going to be complete. It has to be complete purpose of heart. And we don't want to just start reading God's Word for fear. And if that is where you find yourself this morning, pray and seek and ask the Lord to reveal Himself as you do that. Because He will. He wants to reveal Himself to us. I have a desire that we would all stand and sing song 332. You want to lead that, John? seated. I think that song, that hymn, probably shared better than any than what I could, better than I can, my heart this morning. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. Beyond the sacred page, words of life, thou art. So again this morning, as we pick up God's Word, each one of us, we pick it up, and it depends on the condition of our heart. Either we pick up a dead letter, or then we pick up words of life. And it, right here's the difference in here. I don't want to be hard on anyone. If your heart is open to Christ, He will reveal Himself to you. Keep reading. Even if you don't feel like God, feelings will come. This morning, we also want to look a little bit some other areas. What God's Word does. Do you feel unclean this morning? Do you feel unclean? I want to say, well, get help. But let's also see, and I mean that, get help. Find someone to help you work through your life if that is how you feel this morning. But sometimes God just simply wants us to go to His Word. John 15, the first 5 verses. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch in me, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How does that happen? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. God's Word has a cleansing effect on our lives. It has a cleansing effect on our lives. We can have repented from all our sins and yet have a sense of being dirty. We can sense that at times. We can feel that. And yet we don't know what it is. Take up God's Word and read it. Just read it. Let it have its cleansing effect on your life. That's what He wants to do. Also in Ephesians 5, it's talking specifically about husbands and wives, but I think it pertains to us as individuals. It pertains to me and my family. But let's read it. It says, submitting your verse, starting in verse 21 of Ephesians 5 to verse 27. Submitting yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present himself to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We need to be doing this to our family, washing them by God's Word. And I don't as much as I need to. I confess it. But I want to. I want to do it more. Washing my wife and children with God's Word. Something that has bothered me over the years as a little child. I don't mind to see a child that is dirty. But if I see a child that is dirty one day and I see him again the next morning and he's still not been washed, it kind of bothers me a little bit. I don't like to see a child that don't get washed. And the parents don't seem to care. But how are we spiritually? How am I spiritually doing with my children? Is there spots and blemishes on them that by reading God's Word, that would wash away? Question that I've had to ask myself. And that is, when I've said about a child that has the same dirty spots on him for a couple of days, bothers me, I'm serious about that. And the question came to me, how is my family doing? Am I washing them spiritually by God's Word? That's not happening spiritually. How is it with us? How many times, you know, we say we can tell a child, well, go wash yourself. How many times will he come back clean? Talking about a little child. He might come back all wet, but a lot of times it just got smeared around, right? So we need to help our children. We need to help our children. We need to wash them by the water of God's Word. God wants to cleanse each one of us. Most of us don't get an accurate picture of ourselves, like I said earlier. We don't see us as dirty and needy as we probably are in a need of cleansing. God wants to clean us and wash us through His Word. But more than that, it gets deeper and even better. Let's turn to John 17 as Jesus is praying there. John 17, verses 17 to 21. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I should just stop there because of the sake of time. Sanctify them through the word of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So in other words, if truth is God's word, God wants to sanctify us through His Word. And the word sanctify has a deeper meaning than just cleansing. It means holy. It means purify. It means concentrate or set apart. That was the heart of Jesus as He was kneeling there praying for you and for me. If we would have read on and read there, it would have told us that he's not just praying for these, but also those as the word gets passed on down and has been passed on down to us. That's God's heart for us, that His word would have an effect on our lives and make us holy. So what is the difference of being cleansed and being sanctified? My definition, we can clean ourselves, we can wash ourselves, but God, through His Word, can purify and make us holy. There's none of us that can make our own selves holy. We can cleanse ourselves, but God has to make us holy. God has to purify us. I also had to think, if I had two bottles of water up here, and the one would say, made clean, and the other one would say, purified water, which one would you drink? I think most of us would probably drink the purified water. Because we make a difference there. And there is a bit of a difference. It's a deeper cleansing, and that's what God wants to do through His Word to our lives. We would drink it if it would say purified water. So there's a process that we go through. We don't just get there in one big jump. In Acts 12, verse 24, it says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Now, it's talking about the church that was being multiplied, but I'd also believe it starts here. It can grow and multiply in my heart and life. It'll grow. It is not just something that is stagnant. It's either increasing or decreasing. 1 Timothy 4. The first five verses. It says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if he be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Have you ever ate holy food? Is it possible that those who take God's word in abundance eat better food than the rest of us, according to this verse? Is that possible? Sanctified through his word and prayer. It says it here in Scripture. Most of us don't like food that is not clean. But how are we doing spiritually? How are we doing spiritually? Do we want real spice to our food? Dig deeper in God's word. I don't know. Maybe I think it gets better. The more we know him, the tastier things become. We say it completely changes us. God help us to experience this complete change. Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. God's word is pure. And as we take it in, it purifies us and it cleanses us and makes us holy. God wants to purify us completely. My heart this morning is to stir us into action, to take God's word and in Hebrews 6, verse 5, it tells us, and have tasted the good word, and have tasted the word, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's talking about those who have fallen away, but somebody that has tasted the good word of God. Have you ever tasted and seen that God's word was good? Taste and see that it is good. How is it with me? Is it sweet? Is it bitter? It can be both, as long as we see it as good. A bitter taste to it. If I see a need in my life, sometimes it's hard for me to change and it's a bit bitter. But it's still good, right? Proverbs 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God has our best in mind. He also says other things about his word. I'm sorry I'm taking too much time. Hebrews 13 20-22, he tells us, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus and great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you and a few words. Sometimes God's word exhorts us. Sometimes it exhorts us. And he's telling us, remember, we have a word that is powerful and it is true. Sometimes God's word exhorts us. And here he's saying, I beseech you, I beg you, I entreat you, I invite you. And the word suffer means to hold oneself up against, to forbear. When God's word does that to us, take heed. Do something about it. You know, it's not all, it's all about life. But remember, we also read that every branch that is in him, he purges. And sometimes we need to be purged. So God's word exhorts us. So let's do something about it. God's word is a hammer. He can't use big, strong men, but a broken man to repent. Hebrews 4 verse 12. It tells us about God's word that it is, I don't know if I can quote it. Should be able to. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this morning, there's many more things that we could look at that God's Word is to us. It talks about the word of reconciliation. It talks about I can't see them all right now that I have down here. But it has many more things that it talks about that God's Word does to us. And it affects us differently because it depends here, what is happening here. If I'm truly seeking God and His way for my life, it will bring life unto me. But if my heart is hard and is closed towards God's Word, it will not have the effect that it should. James 1:21, it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." In other words, God wants to take His Word and He wants to engraft it. He wants to place it into your life that it would bring forth fruit. May we, and that it's up to us, again, whether that happens or not. So that's my desire for each one of us. Revelations 12, verse 11, it talks about the word of our testimony. And it's the testimony of what God is doing in our hearts. If we are ashamed of Him and His Word, I'm afraid we will not be overcoming. So it is very important that we also open up our mouth and speak of God's Word. Because if all I do is take it in, it'll get stagnant and die. It has to have a way back out. It has to be like a river that flows through us. If it just comes in, it'll be stagnant and die. We need to share it. We need to, by the word of our testimony, by the power of His blood, they overcame Him. We can overcome Him. In 2 Timothy 3, it tells us that the Scriptures can make us wise. Is there anyone that don't want to be wise? I'm just kind of picking through here a little bit. 2 Timothy, it also tells us that we should rightly divide the word of truth. So this morning again, as we pick up our Bibles this next week, let us see. Let us take note. What is this book going to be to me? Is it going to be a dead letter? Or is it going to be words of life? And we all have, it'll depend on each one of our own hearts, what it will be to me and what it will be to you. We've seen the power of His Word, the truth of His Word, and how it will stand the test of time. How it will change us and every man in the world if we allow it. Allow it to change us. We can study it. I didn't go through that, but we can study it for wrong reasons. It was in Luke. I think it was in Luke. And in John 5, verse 24 to the end, there Jesus rebuked them for searching the Scriptures for wrong purposes. We can do that. May we not search the Scriptures for wrong reasons. May we search the Scriptures for my life. Search it for my life. How it can make us holy. How it can cleanse us. How the Word of God is Jesus Christ come in the flesh. All of these will have an effect on our life according to the condition of my own heart. So I just want to stir us up to dig deep. We have a well of refreshing water here that we cannot extinguish. And I don't know how long we'll be able to hold it in our hands. May it be very precious to us. God's blessings to you.